Welcome to the Classy Ring Guitar Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
It feels like every week we have more and more things wrestling to discuss.
Well, yeah. That's a wrestling podcast that keeps up with the week to week.
I know, but I feel like we had more this week than we had last week.
Yeah, because we had a pay-per-view.
Yes.
And the CWC finale.
Yes.
So that's an additional, 5 hours to what we usually talk about?
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming we're going to at least mention Punk.
You know what? It happened so quickly. Do we really need to talk about that? I mean, we all know what happened.
I mean, if you want to, time it and be like, all right, we can't talk about the fight longer than the fight happened.
Then we've met that already.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't even have an opinion on Punk because we didn't see him fight. We saw him go for a punch, whiff, and then get taken down, and then just get beat up on for, maybe 45 seconds? If that?
Yeah, I think it broke 100 seconds. The fight as a whole.
The fight as a whole, yeah.
So,
I mean, Punk kind of struggled with the takedown a little bit and got, slid up against the fence.
I'd like to see him try again.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he still has one decent-looking ear left, so might as well ruin that. Those things are just giant targets.
Yes, they are.
Punk was very, positive about the outcome, which I assumed he would be no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And he has vowed that he will be back in a UFC fight later on at some point. So I guess 2 years from now, we'll be looking forward to fight number two.
39. He'll be 39 then in 2 years.
Yeah.
So
his big retirement match. Second only. I'm assuming he's going to take another 2 years. I mean,
I have no idea.
Who knows?
So.
My biggest takeaway from UFC 203 was the main event, or after the main event, when Joe Rogan just completely called out Overeem on his BS.
Yeah. I like the fact that they interview both the winner and the loser.
But usually only in the main event.
But
and if, the loser can talk.
If the loser is coming out of a knockout, I'm okay if we don't force him to stand there and talk.
So do you think that's kind of what Overeem, that was kind of his issue, was that he was...
You know what? I'm not
recovering from getting knocked out still.
I'm not going to be I'm sure he felt it in his heart of heart. Because I don't know. I think it was probably a mixture of wanting it to be true and
so
I'll just say it
and
save face. And
you're not completely positive that Alistair Overeem was in his full mental capacities when he was talking about getting a blind tap?
Yeah.
And then Joe Rogan called him out, and as they both looked at the screen, where there clearly was never any sort of tap.
He just got super punched in the face.
A lot. Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
So
I still liked...
He could have been thinking about a tap from 6 years ago. He could have been I swear that was 10 minutes ago. So,
he got hit in the head so many times so hard that it reverberated through time to where he thought that those punches were taps from two or a round or so ago.
I'm just saying, maybe we don't force possibly concussed, freshly concussed people to coherently explain what just happened to them on a microphone.
Okay. All right. I see a parallel now. Seeing as how, let's talk about football, where, Cam
we'll
Newton...
We'll get to the wrestling.
Where Cam Newton had to undergo a concussion test to talk to the media,
yes.
But did not have a concussion test to,
continue
resume
the game.
Playing.
Yes.
He just resumed playing and got continually knocked in the head.
You know what? All of this makes me feel... much better about being a fan of this fake sport that we talk about rather than...
Oh, you mean the company that hid the concussion that Randy Orton had? And was kind of hoping and praying he would be ready by Backlash, but actually wasn't, and he probably even taking the RKO bumps was probably still too much.
That was real dumb, right?
If we are to believe that the concussion theory is true,
mm-hmm.
that is incredibly dumb that he's taking any sort of bump at all. Even though it's, you know, even though it's his offensive maneuver, he's still, you know, hitting the floor at a quick speed. So,
well, we talked about, like, you know, what when somebody is not cleared to wrestle,
mm-hmm.
what then are they cleared to do? Because we have this Randy Orton thing where he still, you know, he took, it was clearly, you know, he laid down and then the camera started rolling, but he took some beats from Bray in the, you know, in the sure. hallway, and yeah. then he came out and yeah. and hit the RKO. So what is he not allowed to do then? Because he had some
probably
offense.
Probably not allowed to do any of that.
So the thing is, like, he had some offense and he had some defense. Mm. Those are your two basic parts of wrestling.
And he also, because SmackDown had a live event on Monday while Raw was going on, and he had a tag team match with Cena. But, you know, because, you know, everyone's pointing to that. Well, like, if this wasn't a work or whatever, then why did he have a tag team match with Cena the next night? And the answer really is, if you really look at it, he didn't have really any offensive contribution in that match on Backlash.
Well, it's the same thing with The Rock, where The Rock was not cleared to wrestle at WrestleMania 32.
Right.
They're just going to flat out admit, mm-hmm. having a match with Eric Rowan isn't really wrestling.
Right. As we all found out.
Yeah.
Okay,
so Backlash. Backlash happened.
Yes.
How do you feel about Backlash?
I feel very positive about Backlash. Overall, I thought it was a really good show. I felt like, by and large, it kind of took from the NXT TakeOver formula,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, not a huge card as far as, like, number of matches, but
every match felt like it deserved to be on the card.
Right, because every match had a decent amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting mixed emotions about the Miz and Ziggler match. Some people are saying, like, it was match of the night. Some people are saying, like, that was horrible. I'm kind of in the middle about it. Like, I don't really, like, I didn't think it was bad, but I don't think it was great either.
I thought it was really good. I mean, I don't think it was match of the night.
No.
But I thought it was a really nice match. I thought it was
better than your usual Miz match.
Yeah, it was better than your usual Miz match.
Ziggler's match against Miz, he looked better in this match than he did against Dean Ambrose at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But also, they did not get a whole lot of time at SummerSlam, so...
That's very true.
That, you know, kind of...
Miz's match quality tends to fluctuate with how interesting the story
sure.
he's in is. Right. Which shouldn't be the case.
It shouldn't be.
Like, you should still, even if you're in a bad story, you should still be able to come out and put on a solid match.
Okay, so you're saying, like, Miz's match quality is directly affected by the interestingness of the storyline. So that means Miz has had, what, two good matches?
Yeah, his title run had several
okay.
good matches in it.
Okay. I don't remember
and then
any of those.
Nothing. Until right about now.
Backlash, okay. All right.
So.
I mean, kind of fast-forwarding a little bit, I like what they're doing with Miz right now.
Yeah.
You know, Miz is not happy. And because, like, we didn't see a whole lot of... I hate that I'm saying this, but I really can't think of a better word right now. There hasn't been any real backlash. I hate myself. Over the fact that Dolph was just kind of...
I'm sorry, do you mean there hasn't been any real hashtag backlash?
There hasn't been much negative reaction to the fact that Ziggler was kind of gifted a number one contendership before Backlash. And
yep.
then afterwards, after he got beat, you know, even though by, you know, nefarious means or whatever. That's my big word for the day.
Means?
Yes. he was gifted a rematch on Backlash, and so that just finally it's kind of fully set Miz off. And so now Miz is playing the, you know, you're not going to get what you want until I get what I want, which is a better contract.
Right.
So I kind of like...
Well, I
kind of like that they're finally kind of going with that aspect.
I thought that was, like, what was going to happen at Backlash, where he was standing and he was like, you know, it looked like he was about to stage a I won't fight. I'm,
yeah,
you know.
Whatever year it was, SummerSlam with Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
It happened, like, real life backstage.
Yeah, but then, like, I have you over a barrel, I have the title, and we're going to talk about it right now. But right. He's like, and we'll talk about it when I get back from my match that I'm perfectly happy to do. So, yeah, oh, okay. But no, we've talked about how Miz is the best to second best heel in the company, save Kevin Owens.
Sure.
As far as his ability to, you know, get people to boo him, which makes him the best heel on SmackDown.
Okay.
AJ is the thing you're thinking?
Yes.
Yeah, but people still cheer AJ. People cheer when his music hits.
Okay.
And we've discussed in length before, you know, just a few podcasts ago, so we don't really need to go into it, but, you know, what does AJ have to do? AJ has to take extra time every day to, you know, boo local. And I think AJ's doing an amazing job. And I think the insisting on he's the face that runs the place is an amazing job. But AJ is an amazing wrestler
mm-hmm.
who is just a heel right now.
Right.
Miz is an amazing heel.
Okay. I noticed that you didn't say anything about being a good wrestler, but...
He's a competent wrestler. Like, he is a...
He can hold his own without, you know, permanently harming the other person he's in the ring with unintentionally.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he is... We don't have to stop the match and be like, oh, we messed that up, let's try again.
I don't know. Sometimes when I see him put a figure four on, I kind of wish they would restart the match.
However, at Backlash was the best figure four Miz has ever done.
It's still a... poop-covered figure four.
Fine.
Which, I mean, again, like, he's not the only one. I don't like the figure eight either.
Yeah.
I think it's horrible. I love Charlotte, but no. Besides
the point. Yeah. My point is, Miz, the reason Miz should still be in his company
mm-hmm.
is his heel work.
Sure.
It is the thing that centers and drives this character.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're going to do that, and they've started to do it a little bit more this week, and but it really felt like he had this, you know, big thing. He got a bunch of mainstream media attention, and then he had one promo about it on SmackDown, and then he's like, well, he's gonna fight Dolph Ziggler.
Right, yeah.
And as much as, you know, my, you know, 2012 heart still beats for, like, that Dolph Ziggler push that's coming any day now, I can't look at what's going on and be like, ah, Dolph Ziggler, that's what's really
just
gonna...
just kind of thrown in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be like, Because if you came into this a little bit differently, you might be like, this is either about the title, or both of those guys did have a feud in a KFC commercial.
Right.
I don't know what this Backlash feud is about.
They, like, aired that commercial, like, pretty soon after, I felt, after the match.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because you mentioned, you know, Miz's... match quality tends to reflect the interestingness of the feud itself. So I'm guessing you're talking about, like, what's interesting now with the Miz's feud is, like, the promo, him clashing with Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan, like, not being able to wrestle and just throw in Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
But more so because of the Miz and Daniel Bryan angle.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I will say, like, him and Dolph Ziggler, like, picked up a little bit more steam. A little bit as the match went on and then on SmackDown, but still,
mm-hmm.
the main focus is Daniel Bryan. Yeah. And then I watch, just kind of like, just because I'm on that mind.
That train of thought?
Train of thought, that's
there
the
you go.
Thing. Nefarious, I said it's a big word.
Use your big words.
Okay. Talking Smack, they had Baron Corbin on, and he kind of like, you know, his whole thing was like, well, beat people up because it's my opportunity to do so. And I'm like, and I would have gotten further along in my career already in SmackDown if it wasn't for, you know, this guy sitting over here, like that kind of thing. Like, it feels like all the heels just have this thing against Daniel Bryan.
The more I watch Talking Smack, the more I really want to see, like, what people's prep is for going that. Onto it.
Yeah.
Because, like, half the time it's, you know, full kayfabe, we're in these characters, and these are our relationships people. They furthered feuds on Talking Smack with, you know, Carmella and the Bella twin. And then half the time it's like, they've never, like, full-out broken kayfabe, but they have leaned on a very transparent wall there.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I did like Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
That Talking Smack kind of gave her a little bit more more depth. Because really, if you just watch the shows themselves, like just SmackDown or just Backlash, she's just somebody who's the number one contender kind of out of nowhere. Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of it is asking questions we're not supposed to ask as a wrestler, because, like, Daniel Bryan asked, like, why'd you beat up Apollo Crews backstage?
Yeah.
And the answer is, like, because I'm a heel.
Right.
But I'm the bad guy. Like,
and that kind of, you know, kind of lets Baron Corbin just kind of, flex the talking muscle a little bit and try to come up with a better answer than because I'm a bad dude. Although that's pretty much what he said.
Going for the booze here.
He was just like, wait, does he have an alcohol problem? Because he's going for the
booze? B-O-O-S.
I mean, just because he can't spell it doesn't mean I'm wrong. Baron Corbin, he still ended up basically saying, well, it was my birthday and I felt like beating somebody up. And that's what I'm here for, right? Punching people in the face? No, not quite, but okay. Like, you're in the vicinity, but you're, like, on the outer realm of that Venn diagram.
I mean, and I am liking Talking Smack more and more on a weekly basis because it is this weird netherworld between kayfabe and real life.
Yeah.
So, and if something works, like the Miz thing, they can, like, all right, let's use this. If something doesn't work, then go, that never happened.
So,
goodbye. We never have to acknowledge that interview happened.
Right. So, you're liking the nether realm of it, or as AJ Styles calls it, the Jesus zipper? That was, like, the weirdest reference I heard on Talking Smack, just the Jesus zipper. I don't get it.
I don't know.
I guess it's a Georgia thing. I don't know. Who knows anything about these things?
Speaking of AJ Styles, we had the main event of Backlash.
Yeah.
So it ended with a below the belt shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't completely satisfied with the ending. Like, I understand, like, I added, like, you know, Dean is the top SmackDown guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he was the top guy they drafted. Like, that's a clear indicator of where he sits on the hierarchy. But still, when you look at the fact that AJ, like, just cleanly pinned Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 2 weeks before that, or 3 weeks, or however long it was. And then he has to resort to a low blow to beat Dean, which is a trope that WWE's used way too much in the past year, 2 years. Just below the belt shots.
Yeah.
I get it. It's a way to, like, get instant heat or instant crowd reaction from either side. But after a while, it just kind of feels lazy. Which is a real shame, because it was I really enjoyed that match up until that point.
Well, we had two heels win or retain titles. The two new ones went to face James, and
the existing titles went to heels.
Yeah. Went to heels. And in both cases, it was some form of cheating.
Go ahead and say the word of the day.
Nefarious?
It was a nefarious
plot.
There you go.
Kevin Owens, our heel champion over on SmackDown, over on Raw, won due to blatant interference by Triple H.
Yes. I'm surprised Triple H said it didn't come out and just blow-blowed everybody.
Yeah. Charlotte has, Dana Brooke
Yeah.
Which was as a replacement of Ric Flair's constant interference in winning.
Right.
The only consistently champion-winning person in the past however long would be Brock Lesnar. And okay. that was supposed to be a heel.
Right, yeah.
And Brock basically turned face due to...
being too awesome?
Yeah. I want a heel who is just good at his job.
Sure.
And I don't think him being good at his job automatically has to make me cheer him. Because I don't want all of them. I like a cowardly heel, and I like a heel that constantly uses outside interference. I like an ultimate opportunist right. heel. I want a variety of heels throughout my program.
Honestly, like I feel like there's ways around that. I mean, because, you know, it's kind of like a staple for heels to kind of do, like, you know, just win it any way you can, mm-hmm. you know, usually by shenanigans. But I feel like there's ways around it that isn't just, you know, low blow after low blow. And I feel like, you know, on NXT with the Revival, like, they're kind of showing that. And granted, it's easier to, like, distract a ref or whatever when you got two guys.
Right.
But they're showing that there's plenty of ways to kind of, like, cut some corners.
I mean, even when you're painting with the broadest of strokes, you have a couple of different, you know, faces. You have the John Cena All-American Superman Boy Scout.
Sure.
And then you have, you know, this crazy lunatic Dean Ambrose who's following in the, you know, Steve Austin mode.
Right.
You have, you know, the heel that's just too darn charming and entertaining.
Right.
Which is The Rock is the, you know, quintessential version of that.
Okay.
But you have plenty of Randy Orton is another example of that.
I was about to call it, yeah. He does heel things, but he's just too good at it kind of thing.
Yeah. So you have this variety of faces, but every heel is immediately eager to cheat, wants to have some sort of manager to help him out, and is bummed out when they're putting matches.
Right.
It's like, what did you think you were here for?
Right, yeah.
And they'll be really upset when they're putting, like, you're going to have to defend that belt at Clash of Champions, and they're like, what? That's not fair. And you're like, that's the whole point of that show.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right. I'm trying to think if there's any sort of other, like, trope of characters that I'm blank. But I think you pretty much covered it all.
And you'll have faces who turn heels and immediately revert into that. And CM Punk is, you know, he was a face, and then when he turned heel, you know, very, very quickly, Paul Heyman comes in and starts interfering. He immediately is, you know, cowardly. He immediately is trying to avoid fighting.
Mm-hmm.
When he was a fighting champion a month and a half ago, he then gets upset when he's putting matches and title defenses. He, you know, goes through, and he honestly, he never, in that whole title run, he never cheated very much himself. He took a lot of advantage of other people cheating.
Sure.
Paul Heyman and Brad Maddox.
And Shield.
But
a lot of it wasn't himself.
Right. And then there was a lot of, like, who's, you know, who put the hit out for the Shield to attack Ryback? And then it's like, you know, it was Punk for a week, and then it was Paul Heyman for a week, and then it was nobody for a week, and then we never found out. It went to the, you know, anonymous GM and the what was Triple H going to say to Shawn Michaels?
Right, yeah.
Bucket of unanswered questions.
Yeah, he never did answer what the Shield was doing other than the, you know, delivering justice.
Yeah.
Which is such a broad brush. But yeah, like even with the ending that we got, overall Backlash was really good.
Backlash was really solid.
I felt much better about Backlash than I did about SummerSlam.
That's true. It felt like a smaller, more intimate kind of thing, because smaller card, not 12 and a half hours, like a nice solid 3 hours.
Yeah.
What a concept.
Refreshing.
And it wasn't amazing. It wasn't like, you know, top to bottom flawless everything I've been waiting for out of pay-per-view. But it was a good, solid, no real strong complaints
right
pay-per-view.
I mean, that and, you know, looking at the finale for their Cruiserweight Classic, which was 2 hours with just four matches.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that, you know, number of matches does not directly equal good show.
Well, for something that they were, you know, they had 2 weeks to put together.
Sure.
Compared to WrestleMania, which they spent 3 months putting together.
Right.
And it's like, I enjoyed WrestleMania throughout a sheer force of will.
Right.
And doing other stuff on the same day that WrestleMania happened to be.
Right. And the fact that we had a ton of people all watching wrestling and having a good time.
Yeah. Like I made WrestleMania good. Right. They didn't.
Right. And then I felt sick the next day, so I rewatched. Like, I was up early, and I just threw the same WrestleMania on for the day before, and...
Mistake.
Fell asleep.
Mistake.
Yeah. I mean, but it was a good thing, because I couldn't sleep, so...
Yeah.
Thank you for that, WrestleMania 32. So, is there anything big from Raw or SmackDown that we already covered a lot from SmackDown.
We've covered a lot from SmackDown. Becky Lynch is the official women's champion.
For SmackDown.
For SmackDown.
Yes.
She'll be facing Alexa Bliss.
Yes.
Heath Slater and Rhino.
Yes.
Are the tag team
SmackDown champions.
Yes. Interesting.
Yeah.
And honestly...
It was a good payoff.
It was not until the pop when he came out to do the contract signing on SmackDown where I was like... All right.
Yeah.
I guess so. Like, even also, like, through the whole thing, like, this is going to fall flat on their face. It's not going to work. They think it is. It's not.
Also, he signed the contract, right?
I think so.
Because, like, I remember him, like, you know, scribbling something on the paper and then, you know, gave it to Shane and they all kind of celebrated and then Ascension came out. And then on Talking Smack, like, they were talking, like, I don't think he actually signed the contract, did he? Mm-hmm. And, like, did I miss something? Like, I felt like I watched that. So, I don't know if my brain just is imagining things, or, like, I don't want to say Daniel Bryan's wrong about anything.
I don't know if they watch SmackDown that much closer than we watch
probably
SmackDown.
Probably not. Because they do have, like, a post-show to kind of prep for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, stuff to do during the show.
Yeah.
Whatever. Raw-wise, though,
Roman Reigns had an opportunity to...
Yeah. Yes. I do want to talk about that, because it seems like the first time in a long time where it had some sort of, like, if Roman Reigns wins, he gets championship spot, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen so many of those in the past, and he always wins them, so it's kind of refreshing to see it just once just not work out for him.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Which... Like, all right, he's human in WWE's eyes.
You know what?
Thank you.
I don't even tie that necessarily to Roman Reigns. It's very frustrating when they're like, if this person wins, then this plot moves forward. And you're like, well, I guess that's gonna happen.
And that person is usually a face.
Yeah.
If it's a heel, then you never know.
Well, usually if it's a heel, it's, you know, if this person wins, then you don't get this thing.
Yes.
Heel.
Yes.
You know.
It's like a negative reinforcement.
Yeah.
Rather than positive, yeah. So, they're finally continuing with the Rusev thing, which had to take a slight detour since the fact that, you know, he got married second married. Apparently, yeah, like, when you're Bulgarian, your American wedding doesn't really count.
I'm really glad, because I think there's a very good match to be had between Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. I think it's a very good single competition match that I'm very interested in seeing there. It also goes ahead, it really cements Seth Rollins is going to be a face now, because my worry when they were doing the Roman Reigns thing was somebody was like, two heels, can't have that, got to put a face in there.
Sure.
And so hopefully this means that we can... head out of this and look to a future where we're going to go ahead and admit that we like Seth Rollins and
sure.
He's fun to watch wrestling. And,
yeah. Also, it's good because I don't know if Seth can lift Kevin Owens into that turnbuckle bomb. So, less of a chance that we get another championship reign cut short from an injury.
There you go.
I love Seth Rollins, but he needs to stop that move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, the averages are in his favor for, you know, it going completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when it goes wrong big.
And the thing is, like, it's not my call to make when that needs to stop. But if it happened, I won't be the one going, come on!
Also, seeing how his current situation is with Triple H, do you think he should get a different finisher?
I mean, I want the curb stomp, and it's not going to be the curb stomp.
No, yeah.
I don't think so, just because there is a Seth Rollins Triple H match waiting to happen.
Oh, sure.
And a pedigree turning into the other way pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to be working on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm completely convinced of that. So yeah, maybe not give up on that just yet.
Yeah.
And if he wins against Triple H in whatever final match they have, then he could either change it or just continue to use it to kind of like
thumb in the eye. He's earned the pedigree now. He's,
sure.
You know, taking it. So yeah, that was probably the big relaxing moment of the night for Raw was that, okay.
Yeah.
We're heading forward with this singles match that I'm really interested
in. It's the same feeling that I had the first night of the brand split whenever they had Finn going up against Roman in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, you're really just going to have him bury somebody else? Like, you're going to feed the new top draft pick to Roman, and then Roman lost. We're like, oh, that felt kind of good.
Mm-hmm. And I hopefully with, you know, less eyes on Roman, hopefully less fingers in the Roman pie, we can kind of... That sounded not what I wanted that
no,
sound.
No, no.
But you know what?
Please cease and desist whatever metaphor you're about to use.
I'm definitely hanging on to the less fingers in Roman pie idea.
I would rather no fingers. At least any fingers that belong to me.
Less cooks in the Roman kitchen.
Are you going for like every like rock punchline because they're related? I got a pie reference. Now you got a cook reference.
Not intentionally, no.
You want a little bit less of the millions in the millions of Roman.
My point is,
right?
Fewer people trying to manhandle this career to specifically what it's supposed to be. Hopefully, Roman can do a little bit of work on himself.
Sure.
Maybe get some organic reactions and figure out what. What is the character of Roman Reigns? Because it's not been a consistent built character. It's, you know, we're a goofy Saiyan suffering succotash tater tots character here, where I'm going to beat you down with my Superman punch character. Then we have this extreme, like, Superman's a cartoon character, and that's even too cartoony for super, super, super serious Roman.
And then you have the guy. But in the short term, I like it. I like what they're doing just for the simple fact that Roman has a reason to be angry now at Rusev. Because before, Roman got all angry at Rusev and like, no, you prick. You ruined his moment with his wife. With the reception or whatever. Like, you crashed it. And why are you mad?
Yeah.
Like, you're not the one that was wearing cake at the end of that segment. Why are you mad? And there was no answer to it.
He saw the future.
Saw the future.
In a few weeks on Raw, you're gonna be a real jerk to me.
You're gonna owe me big time. So I guess we can move forward to Cruiserweight.
Well, technically NXT came on before Cruiserweight.
Was there anything from NXT you want to talk about?
I mean, it was a perfectly fine episode of NXT. I enjoyed it.
Well, okay. I'm not gonna give too much away, but I did read spoilers from the tapings that happened tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to hear this everywhere, just like the big announcement, is they're immediately starting the second Dusty Rhodes Classic. And the finals will be at...
Survivor Series, won't they?
No, TakeOver Toronto. So Survivor Series weekend.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
well, you know. And there's a few other things that happen on NXT that's going to make the show really interesting. In a way that we haven't really seen in the past few episodes. Because honestly, like, right after TakeOvers, NXT tends to be a little dull.
Well, yeah, because we haven't taped anything, so we gotta...
Right.
You know, now do all this taping. Because they don't want to spoil title changes, and right. I get that. And so
there's gonna be an infusion of new talent. A lot of the Cruiserweight guys, because they're... According to the...
Of the 32, do we know how many have been signed?
There's a list somewhere.
Because it's a sizable chunk.
It is a sizable chunk, and a lot of them do show up in the next couple weeks on NXT. And they're also going to be on Raw.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, like, just because you saw, just naming one of the guys, just because you see Cedric Alexander at NXT doesn't mean you're not going to see him at Raw. Like, apparently they're going to be doing both. Okay. And probably touring with NXT on the live events.
Okay.
We're going to, and we're, that's also going to lead to some interesting tag teams coming up. And we finally do find out what's the weird, like, promo thing they keep airing on NXT. I can't remember what it, like, it was creepy images, and then forgot the name of it. Like, it just hasn't.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They do, like, the payoff for that is coming. And it's pretty interesting.
Okay.
And it's one of those, like, it's one of those things, like, usually I hate spoilers, but for some reason, for NXT, it doesn't spoil for me. It just makes me usually want to watch it more.
All right.
But going on to the Cruiserweight.
Yeah, you can talk about Cruiserweight.
Thank you. God. I did not see the ending coming, as far as, like, who won. I honestly did not see...
Are you trying to not spoil it still, or are we...
No.
Okay. Because we're getting ready to spoil it if you haven't seen it.
Yes. So if you care about that, stop being dumb, pause the podcast, go watch it, and then come back, and then hit play again. Don't hit stop. Don't delete the podcast, because we need those listens.
Or you can delete the podcast and then download it again.
Does that do anything?
I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know if that counts as an extra download or not.
I was not expecting T.J. Perkins to be in the final, too. I absolutely, for sure, was not expecting T.J. Perkins to win the whole thing.
I was not. I was expecting Grand Metalik to win.
Grand Metalik.
Yeah, Grand Metalik.
You said Grand Metalik.
Grand Metalik. Grand Metalik.
Okay.
I was expecting Grand to be able to take this.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of that was because, like, he was in the opening match and I called, like, that guy's going all the way.
Or just the sheer, like...
And then it, like, he kept doing it, so I was like, maybe I was right.
Right, he kept winning. But honestly, like, going into this, I can almost guarantee that almost nobody predicted T.J. Perkins.
Mm-mm.
And honestly, like, now that I look back on it, it's... Like, we're going to see how they handle this going forward. But for right now, I think they probably picked the right guy.
Yeah.
Super relatable. I really love the promo that he cut at the very end.
I think it's very interesting that he won two matches mm-hmm. on that show, and both were submission.
Every single victory he had in the tournament was submission.
Has he had every single? He doesn't have a single pinfall win.
I don't believe so. It was all that I think it was a knee bar.
I mean, that's an incredible submission move.
It is, yeah. Especially the modified version that he put on Kota.
Yeah, that one was the best.
Uh-huh.
But I like
Noam Dar's. Noam Dar's is simple, and then he just has that heel kick to the back of the head
mm-hmm.
that just kind of adds to it. But, yeah, no, T.J. Perkins is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But, I was not expecting that at all. I probably need to go back and rewatch the show because it was just, like, all four matches that you saw on there was incredible.
I think any of the three tournament matches, if you wanted to make those your match of the year, I couldn't yell at you.
I'm still probably partial to Cedric and Kota.
Mm-hmm.
But... I get like you said, I couldn't argue against you for picking any of those. TJ looked beat up.
Yeah.
Like my
he did.
Like you had him with like all the marks and bruises and welts and everything that was covering his chest, and then you put the belt on him and you know he's got everything taped up. He's got the he's got that look to it. He looked like a UFC fighter.
Yeah.
You know.
So. You're starting. You've done this whole tournament.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you're assuming. Are you assuming there's going to be a second Cruiserweight Classic next year?
I don't know if I would like it to be more like an Olympic kind of situation. Not every 4 years, but mind you, but like not necessarily every year. There's a lot of rumors saying that there's going to be a similar tournament thing for women wrestling.
I've heard that.
And, like, we heard, like, maybe, like, towards the beginning of 2017 is when that's going to happen. So maybe it's going to be, like, a seasonal thing. Like, multiple tournaments in the same, in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because, like now they're already starting the tag team. And really, like, that, unless they want to do, like, a heavyweight tournament.
Yeah. I mean, my understanding is, like, Kota is not signed, correct?
Yeah, not he or Zack Sabre Jr., neither have signed.
And it's the kind of thing where, like, they're not signing because they don't want to commit to solely WWE.
Yeah, that was...
But they would gladly...
Probably come back for a limited run in a tournament again.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you have these stories all ready to go of, mm-hmm. I came, I made the finals, and now I'm ready to really... Like, you have that story already set up.
Right.
Which is why I was like, I would assume that they would be doing it. It would be their summer thing.
Right.
So you have that, you have this guy, this new champion, a new champion. Mm-hmm. You're going to debut him on Raw on Monday.
Yep.
What are you going to do with it?
I don't know. Because I'm assuming that he's going to have to defend the title probably at whatever, I know they said it, what the next...
Clash of Champions?
Clash of Champions. He's probably going to have to defend it over Clash of Champions. So, they're going to have to find some way to determine number one contender. I feel like that's going to be the focus on this week's Raw. Like,
they should have a 32-man tournament over a course of 10 weeks.
No. They should have a 31-man tournament. One's already taken care of.
Yeah, we can put Kalisto in. That'd be fine.
He's on SmackDown. How dumb is that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
How dumb is
yeah,
that?
I remember that. I remember feeling like that was dumb when it happened. Yeah,
and you just remembered it, and yep. You thought, again...
Okay, because what's the last thing... What has Kalisto done?
He botched a couple things, and then on the night of the draft, he said he was going to do the... the Lucha thing.
I don't know which of these are your flubs and which of these are you recreating his flubs.
Recreating his flub. I'm not that big of an idiot. All right, calm down. All right. You forgot he was on SmackDown.
That's fair. You know, I thought he was like, it's very possible they recast him as CWC crowd audience member instead of Kalisto, the WWE superstar wrestler. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
His new lucha, that lucha thing might have been his coded way of saying, I've been recast as a lucha superfan who will spend time in the crowd so that they can cut to a lucha superfan every time they have a lucha wrestler in the ring. Because that's all I've seen him do.
You have fun with that little scenario?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, moving on. But yeah, I feel like the main focus now probably would be turning a number one contender. Like, you still, like, have a big, like, introduction for TJ Perkins. You
okay.
know? He's kind of deserved it. Maybe have, like, an exhibition match that, like, he's going to win, probably against, like, James Ellsworth or something. I don't know.
Do you have him win at Clash of Champions?
Probably.
Okay.
You kind of want to have the guy that won your big tournament kind of continue to win for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And also they're going to have to determine who are going to be heels in this whole situation because,
well,
you know, God forbid they ever have a division full of faces.
They a little bit have to determine who counts as a cruiserweight.
Well, yeah, they've already said, like, are you talking about, like, not just weight, but, like, who is competing in the division, who is not.
Right.
Regardless,
like,
of...
I feel like Finn Balor and Seth Rollins both could fit the cruiserweight bill pretty safely. But I'm assuming that they're going to both continue to fight for the Universal Championship.
Well, Seth is.
Yeah, or the equivalent of, like, the heavyweight championship.
Sure. Yeah.
So, and Finn, when he comes back.
There you go. Thank you.
I didn't forget. I didn't be like, they really haven't used him this week. He'll come out any minute.
It's like, oh, Joel, I'm about to make you real sad all over again.
They should reform the Mega Powers.
You're gonna have. Oh, God. Dang it.
That really doesn't work.
That was a fun podcast to listen to. You didn't call out your wife because she got something wrong.
I'm not going to call out my wife when she gets something wrong.
Smart man. That's probably why you're still married.
There you go.
I don't know. I would, honestly, like, part of me, just because of just how wowed I am with the guy, I would really like this vision to kind of, like, be centered around Cedric Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
But TJ Perkins also is a really good face, especially with that promo at the end.
Yeah.
The only guy that I think that probably could, like, immediately fill, like, a villain role would probably be Noam Dar, you know?
He's been signed, right?
He's been signed, yeah. And I'm pretty sure, like, they can, you know, work something out with everybody. Or if they want to do a rematch at Clash of Champions between TJ Perkins and Grand Metal, like...
That would be my...
Seeing as how we're, like, 2 weeks, maybe, like, not even, like, maybe a week and a half from Clash of Champions.
I would, especially if I could get both of those guys, because I don't know if I'd have a rematch on the pay-per-view, but if I could have that, if I could have those guys fighting on Raw, so there's a little bit of, like, oh, what have I been missing by ignoring this silly purple CWC thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would want to put that there.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm really curious to see what they're going to do with all this, you know?
Yeah, me too.
And how much of the Cruiserweights are going to be featured every week on Raw.
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be like a new women's, or a new Divas division where the championship storyline is the only storyline going on, you know?
Or if they'll actually have...
Or, you know, because if that's the case, then they just sign a bunch of Cruiserweights for no real reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, like, they've kind of replenished NXT.
Which, watching NXT this week and last week started to be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's about time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, this is it breathes new life in NXT, which is good for the short term. I'm curious to see what will happen to Raw.
Doing it this way, one of the best things NXT has had going for it over the past year, probably 2 years now,
mm-hmm.
is they would so frequently have somebody that's like, they got such and such, I can't wait to see such and such, you know, Kevin Owens, or when they got Kevin Steen, when they got El Generico, like, these guys,
right.
When Kenta is coming to,
yeah.
you know, I want to see these people that I already am aware of and I'm excited about come to WWE.
Sure.
And so much of what they have now is a lot of people like, here's a guy, we're going to build him up, and they're going to be an NXT superstar. He's like, well, I don't know them, and I'm not already excited for them.
Sure. I mean, just look at how long it took for people to finally start getting behind Ty Dillinger.
Yeah.
He's been in there since the FCW days,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Same goes for Tyler Breeze. You know, he's also in the FCW days and finally found, like, some sort of rhythm.
But
in NXT.
Through CWC, they now have this block of people that mm-hmm. fill that, like, I'm already excited about them.
Sure,
thing,
absolutely.
And then they can drop them into NXT.
It's a very, I'm dropping another big word, fortuitous, like, situation for them on an NXT. Like, it gives them all this momentum. And even the guys that didn't get signed, like, the guys that you never really heard of, like, DeMac, like,
yeah.
whose radar was that guy on, you know?
Well,
but then now that they're not signed, but they were on this WWE show even for a small amount of time,
yeah.
can now still like probably get a little bit more money in the independents, get a little bit more notoriety and a little few more eyes on them, you mm-hmm. know.
Well, I think Cedric Alexander is a near perfect example where like there was not a whole lot of buzz around this guy. He was not Kota, he was not Zack Sabre Jr.,
sure.
he was not.
Right.
You know.
I mean, like, really, like, the most I had heard about him was how he got screwed over by Ring of Honor, I believe. And, like, kind of same with TJ Perkins. Like, he kind of got a raw deal with TNA.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, honestly, that is... And I knew Cedric Alexander was from the area. And, like, I knew a lot of the local wrestlers, like, had him in such high regard.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, on a global level, there wasn't really as much notoriety about him as compared to, like, you know, Kota or Zack Sabre Jr.
And so this guy has used
this tournament, but almost this one single match. And then he is immediately like, I cannot wait to see that guy in NXT. I cannot wait to see what he does. I know he's a good wrestler, and I'm ready to see the character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, that was the main reason why I was even remotely interested in the kind of the tag team filler match, which is pretty entertaining to be a filler match.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of exhausting almost, but it got me to see more Cedric Alexander in a CWC ring.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm holding out hope that maybe they see the successes of CWC and try to recapture that lightning in a bottle kind of situation on Raw, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, like, it's a tournament setting is going to have a different feel to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because a tournament setting is like every match counts, you know? Yeah. How are they going to use that momentum where not necessarily every match counts in the same way that it did as a tournament?
Oh, every match doesn't count on Raw. Like, there's no...
No, absolutely, yeah. You know, wins and losses don't count nearly as much on Raw as they do in a tournament.
No.
So I will be very curious to see what this week's Raw brings.
Yeah.
Especially with the Cruiserweights.
Right. Anything else for you?
Well, I guess we should probably talk about football.
Yes. So Chris has successfully completed his first week. Tell us how Classic Ring Attire did.
I lost.
Oh, Chris.
Not by much. Hold on. I think I can bring up the score from last week.
All of our hopes and dreams were rested on your ability to...
Did you really think that much of our listeners really cared that much about this? Can we just, like, say... Like, can we just not talk about this anymore? Like, shut up, Joel. Okay, you want to hear the final score between me and the Corpus Christi Chihuahuas?
Okay. 145.1 to 143.6. What? Are you using the ESPN?
Yeah. It's a different scoring method than...
Okay, I was like...
Yeah, there's...
Both decimals. Of those would crush anything I've ever come close to.
It's a smaller league.
Okay.
We've got 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Looks like 10 teams.
Okay.
So we can have bigger names.
Right.
But yeah, lost by less than 2 points.
Close,
I'm looking through it now. It was the closest game in the league.
Okay, so here's the big question.
And I would have beat...
Did your score this week beat your opponent from next week?
No.
Oh!
This week I'm playing the much better named Enzone Amore.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. I like that. All right.
Yeah. So I'm already rooting against myself now.
I was like, I might cheer for that. Yep.
I mean, I'm...
Oh, okay.
I can't... coming off of... See...
Does Enzone Amore want to come on the podcast?
Enzone Amore?
Yeah.
I don't know. Usually they have their name on here, but I don't... It's not coming up. So usually I would just straight up ask Enzone Amore, come on the podcast, but...
No, I like that.
See, here's the thing.
I'm gonna be okay when we lose next week.
See, I'm
like
okay.
I'm bummed this week, but I'll be okay next week.
Well, I mean, you've got to start the year off confident, you know. Mm-hmm. So going into week one, that's why I was so verbose and so adamant about that I was going to crush, you know,
Rusev, of course.
Rusev Machka. And then when you know you lose,
mm-hmm.
that's when you're like, you know what, things didn't go my way, but this is. I'm going to use this as a lesson and build that momentum to hopefully win again. Like, you have to be a little bit more humble after you get that first loss. You
know? Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying, like, I have a chance because I think he scored, like, 159.
Ooh, okay.
And I was 143, so not terribly off.
Yeah.
And again, like, these numbers fluctuate week to week.
Oh, obviously.
So, it's not a guarantee. But, I don't like my chances. it's been a long time since I've been in a league this small. Like, I don't mean that to be like, just I didn't mean that to be like snotty or anything. But
yeah.
It is kind of a switch that you have to kind of get readjusted to. You know,
right.
I've been playing in a 16 player league on top of like FanDuel or whatever, where you have like a limited amount of points that you can use per player, and the bigger the player, the more points.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can't, like, have just a stacked team.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have a stacked team in this league, and I just don't know exactly. I haven't figured out a winning formula yet.
Okay. All right, well.
But it's early. I usually struggle more early in the season, regardless. All
right. Well,
because I did lose in my other in our 16-person league that I'm used to.
We will come back, you know, on down the road and determine if that was a lame excuse or a valid reason.
I insert football metaphor here, or whatever the word is. I can't think of it.
It's called a football. They throw it.
You jerk. In the show.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRAttire, where we live tweet whenever it's appropriate now, because there's just so much friggin' wrestling.
Yeah. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that to our lonely little email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to get the podcast. Get it every single week, brand new episode. You could also write a review or give us a rating of
5 stars.
That kind of interaction helps us out with iTunes metrics.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Also on Facebook, easy way to follow Chris, easy way to follow myself, see what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Joel's a giant jerk. Dollywood!
I'm going to have to not...